Press that button.
Hey, hey, are you a new listener to this show? You should reach out to us. You can email us at thealabamatake@gmail.com or reach out to us at any Alabama Take social media place, destination, whatever you call it. We are taking it down. We're the podcast you're listening to right now. This podcast is produced by the Alabama Take for TV, movies, music, little books. We're here to give you straightforward, down-to-earth analysis, or, you know, maybe just thoughts that lets you know if a show, movie, music is any good and why. I am the host and editor-in-chief of the website. My name's Blaine. Don't forget that every episode features timestamps in the show notes, and that'll help you navigate all of our episodes. I mentioned on social media, so you should follow us there. We are a production of the Alabama Take. Go to any of those. This show, though, is released every Tuesday morning, bright and early. And this week, we're going to talk briefly about that fourth episode of the Disney Plus / MCU series, Moon Knight. And we're going to try to save a little bit more time for The Batman, which was recently released on HBO Max. You can stream it. And The Northman, which is in theaters as of this weekend. Joining me today is one of our less than frequent, though still revered co-hosts. It's Natalie Morrow, who will take care of any Christmas lighting you need.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. No, that's true. Like, that's a very real business if you are in the Muscle Shoals, Florence area.
Hey, any of North Alabama,
let us know.
Have lights, will travel.
Really?
Yeah, I'm coming to your house this year.
Well, I was just about to say, I want you to come to our house and spend an evening, and we'll drink hot chocolate and chat it up.
Sounds great.
Sounds like a plan. And as always, if you have been in legal trouble, he is our lawyer, Donovan Reinwald.
I can't endorse that last statement.
That was a little bit of a Better Call Saul nod for anyone watching Better Call Saul, because it started back up. Just message me privately or the Alabama Take, because our people here on this show with me are not caught up. So
we have a lot of excuses for why that is so.
Go on.
we got into them last week,
but not with Natalie. I'm going to open the floor for her.
I just don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. I never really got
how much have you
super
watched?
Into Breaking Bad. I know, like, don't fire me. Like, I watched a lot of it. I watched the last season, but I kind of missed some episodes or seasons in the middle, and I'm fine with it.
That's fair, but it's also surprising. And okay, well then if you didn't like Breaking Bad, you probably won't like Better Call Saul. Although, I don't know. That's an interesting hypothesis. Would you like Better Call Saul if you didn't like Breaking Bad? It's possible. Hey, it's our opening. We've got the Done Up Real Good listener of the week. And this week, it will go to...
It needs to go to me.
Why?
I listen every week. I've never missed an episode.
Really?
Yeah. That's my Tuesday morning.
Sit at
work with my coffee. Listen to your podcast.
I did not. Well, what do you do when you're on the show?
I listen to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I
got to make sure I didn't sound like a complete idiot. And most of the time, I don't.
You check what I edited out?
Yeah.
That's cool. Listener of the week. I'm going to give it to Bo Hicks, though. Bo Hicks.
Why does he listen?
Well, he's got the new podcast, right?
He said he would start. I can't say much.
Okay, sorry.
We can't talk about Bruno. We're not allowed to talk about that one yet. Bo Hicks is our listener of the week. Thank you, Bo. Before we get into our discussion of the feature-length superhero stuff, and even before we get into Moon Knight, Natalie, you had a question.
Yeah, I got beef with this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know, we had a new, this isn't even like you've missed things in the past, which you have. We have a new Fantastic Beast, Wizarding World of Harry Potter movie coming out this weekend, and there has been no mention. We missed out on the 20th anniversary in December, there was a 20th anniversary of The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings movie coming out. Missed that one. You missed the fourth Matrix movie. I'm just going to keep going with this. Are we going to skip over the 60th year of Doctor Who next year? Like, you've got a lot of things, man, and I want to know where you're at.
This is true. And here's the honest response to the first one. I just found out there was a new Harry Potter movie yesterday morning.
What?
And I was kind of surprised. I was like, why have I not seen this advertised? What did they drop the ball on this? I'm not even seeing it on like things I scroll through online. I don't know. So I'm surprised. I know you're really pushing up against what we cover here, but I was honestly surprised that movie wasn't, I don't know, what happened?
It's been everywhere. I don't know how you're missing it unless you're just not in the targeted market of the advertiser's social media thing.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of ads on TV. I skip them or watch streaming or whatever. But even like in social media, I should have seen something.
You have to remember that Blaine found out about this Harry Potter movie yesterday morning, found out about Harry Potter last week.
Good point.
So he's a kid?
Look, he's a kid, but he's an adult now because he grew up, Blaine. Mm,
interesting. I don't know where this is going.
You'll have to watch it to find out.
I guess so. I have watched one Harry Potter movie, the first one.
That's pretty good.
Why did I watch that one? I didn't like it.
Of course you didn't. Are you going to cover?
Should I?
Yes. No, it's fine. I'm just going off here. Sorry, I apologize. We're going off the rails. Are you going to cover the new Fallen Kingdom, whatever the hell, Jurassic World? That's what they're calling it now. Another pop culture phenomenon. Are we talking about this summer? Yes or no?
I saw an ad for it before at The Northman, and maybe. I might watch that one. But Lord of the Rings, I just never got into. I didn't like. Mm. Though I know Donovan and Adam really like it, and they have that Amazon Prime show coming that's right. Like they spent enough to end child hunger on this show, and it's coming soon.
I feel like you've just told us your opinion on it with that sentence. Like, you just judged it really harsh. They could have ended child hunger, and we got to watch another damn Lord of the Rings show.
And I'm just saying it cost a lot. Like, that's
well,
how much.
What doesn't?
Well, that's just the thing that's making headlines, since no one knows much about it, about what's going to be the content of it.
I bet it's going to have some singing.
Is it a musical?
It's going to have some sword play. Blaine, it's going to have it all.
It'll have swords in it. Okay, let's talk Moon Knight. Fourth episode.
Speaking of swords.
Yeah. Well, no.
You didn't see any swords in this one?
There were no swords.
There was an axe.
Well, there were knives.
There was an axe. Yes. Heavily used axe. So how did you feel about fourth episode of Moon Knight?
It was all right. I felt like I was watching like the in-between scenes of a video game for a lot of it.
Wow, that's an interesting comparison.
I mean, like even like the diet. Like I feel like at the end when we got to the point where they were in the wherever they were, and it was all based on like this Tomb Raider-esque movie. It's like, okay, this makes sense. But like even like the dialogue was like real just awkward and weird. And I'm gonna give you this information, and if you come back in 90 seconds, I'm gonna say it again in the exact same way in case you missed it the first time. It just felt goofy. I don't know. I didn't love this episode.
Kind of wish they'd gotten to the psychiatric hospital part of it earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
That was the fun part, because I think I agree with Natalie where it was kind of low rent Indiana Jones. Although there were some fun parts. Did Alexander the Great really consider himself Egyptian? I'm not 100% sure on the accuracy of that.
It is accurate that his tomb hasn't been found.
Well, I know that, but it's sticking in my craw that he's got like a... Yeah, and a lot of it was finally revealing information that had been heavily teased earlier. Just because it was so heavily set up, it was not quite as interesting as when we got to the psychiatric hospital. And then it's like, what's going on here?
Talk about an abrupt shift. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a much improved upon the third. I love the shift at the end. This is based on Jeff Lemire, his writing for Moon Knight. Donovan, you going to help me with that? Do you know more?
Jeff Lemire. I don't know anything about his writing for... I think it's Lemire. I don't know anything about his writing for Moon Knight, but he's top-notch.
Yeah, you brought him up a few times on this show.
Yeah. Well-known for... The only one I can think of is his Canadian indie comic that launched him, Essex County.
God, that's so good. So good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really
good. What's the basis of it? Superhero or no?
No.
Not really. It's sort of interconnected, three or four interconnected family storylines.
Okay.
Takes place up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In a fictional Essex County.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of slice of life.
I love a slice of life. I'm digging Moon Knight fairly well. No Moon Knight or suit at all. I thought that might please Natalie a little bit. She was complaining specifically about the caped version of Moon Knight.
Well, I thought about it more this week, and I think mm-hmm. there's just, other than, I think Wanda's thing in WandaVision was a standout costume change. Every other hero in these Disney Plus shows, there, I mean, poor new Captain America had a terrible, terrible costume. Like, they just don't, they're, mm-hmm. something is missing in the crew. Sorry, costume designers, but you ain't got it.
They're not getting the, you know, when you're working for the movie, you're getting people that can get nominated for an Academy Award. They're missing that whole group, yeah. That whole segment of people. Yeah. They're shooting for Emmys here. At best.
Yeah. How taken aback were you by the hippo?
I was taken, because I'd kind of been spoiled on the hippo showing up. So I knew it was coming, but the voice that came out of it was completely unexpected. So that was still really fun.
I wasn't so taken aback because it was pretty obvious something was going on. It seems like that's going to be one of the gods that we've already met, right?
She's an actual Egyptian goddess of fertility. That yes. much I know. Obviously not. We haven't seen her in hippo form. Very strange, weird, you know, Moon Knight kind of doing more weird stuff than your average Marvel show. It's definitely weirder than Hawkeye, you know, just to put it side by side with something. I don't know. I'm digging Moon Knight. I like the weirdness. I really loved Oscar Isaac hugging Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, that was...
They were so happy.
Sorry, are we assuming that the third sarcophagus that was, like, somebody was trying to get... Are we assuming that's Jake or whomever the third hinted at, but...
That's what I was assuming.
Yeah, everyone online's assuming as much, and that makes...
Are they just going to ignore him the whole season? Because I'd be fine. That would be fun.
Oh, that wouldn't that be cute? I'd love that.
You've got another more homicidal personality, but we're never going to see him.
No, we're definitely going to see him. There are two episodes left, though. You do have a point that they could disregard it. And I don't know. I love that kind of stuff. I think those things are brave. But no, they'll mention him for sure. So that real quick, Moon Knight, more on Moon Knight as it descends into its landing. Let's stick with the superhero genre, but we'll switch to DC. The Batman is now streaming.
I believe it's The Batman.
Thank you. The Batman streaming on HBO Max. If you had missed it in the theaters, then here's your chance to maybe see it at home. The experience of watching this one at home, though, was denigrated because... You guys know where I'm going with this. No goddamn movie needs to be 3 hours long.
See, I actually, sitting through it in the theater, I really didn't mind it as much as I thought I was going to mind it.
You notice that shit at home.
You do notice it at home. Usually, like, I thought that there was going to be a part where I got real antsy, and it's like, okay, that's like the 2.5 hour mark or something like that. But it never quite happened. Whereas, yeah, you're at home, you can check your phone, you can, the clock on the wall's ticking, you got You're praying that your sleeping children stay sleeping.
Death is knocking at your door. I mean, it's just all kinds of shit at home. So the Batman directed by Matt Reeves. I mean, everybody knows this. It's starring Pattinson. It's got John Turturro, who caught me by surprise. I didn't know he was in this movie. And I was like, there's a welcome sight every time you see him. It's got Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, Selena Kyle. I mean, the list goes on. It's a packed movie as far as stars go and as far as length goes. But I'll tell you this, I did like it. My overarching thought is it was good, and I'll get into the details on why it worked for me. But no movie needs to be 3 hours long.
What about Lawrence of Arabia?
I mean, there are exceptions to every rule.
I see, okay.
No superhero movie needs to be 3 hours long.
They're inching that way. What's Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness? We got another 2.5 hour long one.
I think it was it's a full day. You have to, it's an 8 hour event.
It's an experience. It's like a cricket match.
Yeah. Let's begin, though. We'll go general. Then maybe spoiler line somewhere coming soon.
You know, I really enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would because I don't love Batman as a character that much. It's the hardest one for me to... And this is really stupid and superficial, but a lot of it's just because I know I keep talking about costumes, but that damn cowl thing looks so bad. Yeah. And it has bothered... I always wondered why I hated... the last Christian Bale movie, whichever one that was, with Bane.
Dark Knight Rises or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Like, there was a scene where I was like, there's just something odd about Batman, and I can't put my finger on it. But then there was a scene where he was fighting in daylight in his costume, and he just looked so stupid. And so I've always had a hard time with Batman. Like, why does he need a cape? I'm just gonna go off on just the costuming here, and I know it's not the movie's fault. This is all comic, but let's get rid of the cape, get rid of the cowl. Like, it's just so hard. But I actually really did enjoy watching this. I didn't know how I'd feel about Pattinson in it, even though I really like him as an actor. But I think he did a really good job. He kind of approached the whole approach to the Batman Bruce Wayne thing was a little bit different, and I enjoyed that. And there were some, like, it was a serious movie, but you know, there were still like a couple of like kind of like hidden jokes in there that were really fun to kind of see. So I was in. It was great. I didn't mind. I didn't even notice it was 3 hours because I was sitting at home alone with no distractions.
I think I started it just a little too late. The only time I've ever been upset about a costume, maybe on that level, is the Ben Affleck costume was with Zack Snyder because the ears were just, they were just tiny.
But see, that's better like to specs. Me. Like, get rid of them altogether.
Really? Huh.
Well, let me cast my mind back to the Halcyon days of when... Was it March that this came out? No, I liked it. And I gave a little mini review.
You did, yeah.
Back when I first saw it. I overall thought it was pretty good. Sometimes it was a little, maybe it took itself a little too seriously, but I thought, what do I have to say? I keep just picturing Paul Dano's face and how creepy he was.
God, he did so good.
Like, they did some really, you know, Rob Pattinson did a great job as Bruce Wayne. Oh, what's his face was good as Alfred. Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Even Colin Farrell that's covered in makeup as the Penguin. Yeah, he does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So overall, I thought all the acting was solid. It was an interesting, like, looking movie.
Yeah.
Usually there's something good going on. And there were a couple very fun, you know, kind of innovative scenes, mostly using, like, light and darkness, that kind of thing.
When a comic book movie, takes itself this seriously, one thing I want for it is that I want it to be about something if you strip away the hero and villain, the superhero stuff.
Absolutely.
And this one mostly did that for me. So does Joker. So they have a lot of similarities. But Batman is a David Fincher film, I think. It may be the exact way to do this, to do Batman.
That was what I was going to say. I was just about to say the thing you strip away is that the Zodiac Killer is really scary.
Yes, that's the way to do it. I mean, because that helps make some of this add up. Again, if you're taking it seriously, like, who's going to be accepting of a caped, masked vigilante running around, quote-unquote, helping citizens? Who's going to do that? Well, if you set it in a David Fincher serial killer kind of place, then people are going to be like, you know, save us, Batman. So, yeah, I think it worked. I think it worked quite well.
I liked you mentioned it as a David Fincher movie, too. It kind of had that investigative bit.
Right.
That, like Zodiac has.
Yes.
And I thought that actually worked pretty well, too. Like, mm-hmm. not that it's, like, just a mystery movie or anything like that, but it was kind of fun seeing Batman play detective, since he's supposed to be a good detective.
Yeah. Although I did get lost in the details. That happens sometimes if they don't just put it in writing on the screen for me. Like, I don't know what you mean by that. I'm not a detective. But let's be honest. When spoilers, by the way, if you're listening, we'll get into some of the details. We kind of already are. I don't know why a hero doesn't want to try to get to the root of crime. It's poverty. It's education. It's resources. Religion. Am I saying that the murder of that mayor, as the inciting incident, is okay? Maybe. Maybe. Were his policies good? You know? No, we don't want to murder anyone, but should he have been ousted from his job? Maybe. If the city looks that bad.
So you're saying that you're on the side of the Paul Dano vigilante character? You're on the side of the Riddler? Gotham's falling apart, so the only resort is murder?
No. I'm not for murder, but he should have started a grassroots effort to find a candidate who would solve some of these political issues. That's what I'm saying. That's the movie we want.
The movie we want is one where Batman actually uses his enormous wealth to achieve something instead of just beating up subway hooligans.
And you know what? This movie does actually mention that. Selina Kyle gets those words. You know, your white privilege. Why aren't you doing something besides running around in your underwear?
And I think the movie kind of nodded to that at the end, where he's like, they need more than just darkness, right? Like, they need hope. We'll see what that actually means. If that means, like, in my next film, you're going to see me unveiling, like, Wayne Philanthropic Enterprises, or in my next film, you're going to see me with a goofy sidekick to cheer people up.
And it's Bernie Sanders.
I'm Batman, and I'm here to get you to vote. See, that's the movie. Natalie, any guesses as to what was in the shot that he took to save Selina Kyle in that last bit?
Yeah, no idea. That was weird.
So, meth? Are we thinking some sort of meth concoction?
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of meth, but I don't think that it glows green. But I don't actually know. Maybe it does. Maybe I should watch more Breaking Bad and I could answer that question.
I was going to say it's all coming full circle.
There are rumors that because it was glowing green, it's the same stuff that Bane uses in like the comic book. So was the score for Batman scenes in particular reminiscent of the Empire scenes in Star Wars for anyone else?
I didn't notice.
Didn't register.
You know, once they would start, I kept wanting to hum the rest of the John Williams.
The Imperial score. March or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, give me some thoughts on the use of, which is a comic book thing, but the use of Thomas and Martha Wayne as part of the twist.
I mean, was it supposed to be surprising?
I just can't think of another Batman movie that used them as a part of the villain subplot.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It gives it kind of undercuts Batman's whole moral crusade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of calls into question why he's doing what he's doing. Is he just fighting to maintain the status quo? Because for a lot of the movie, it seems like he's fighting to maintain the status quo, right? In a lot of ways.
What should he be doing?
Obviously preaching revolution. No, I'm yeah. kidding. We kind of hinted at it, but like the other candidate that is not corrupt is kind of ends up being one of the heroes of the movie, because she's running against this thing that is part of Thomas Wayne's legacy. So that kind of initially puts him, I think, maybe not directly, but kind of at odds with that character kind of to start with. Mm-hmm.
Mayor Rial is, I think, her name.
Yeah.
This movie really did a lot, probably because of the time length, but it really did a lot of groundwork for future Batman, more so than I think I've seen in a Batman movie. You know, they've got a lot of the renewal stuff that could come up again. They got the Joker in the Arkham Asylum. Any takes on this version of Joker?
Do we have to do another one again so soon?
God, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty, and I don't know if this is me just getting older and not enjoying this, or I don't know. But the whole last third, I guess, or however, I guess this was a long movie. Whatever. The whole scene at the Gotham Square Garden with all the gunmen and all that kind of stuff. Like, that kind of, like, all, like, the big, all these incel type, we're going to go shoot a bunch of people. Uh-huh. Like, it's getting harder and harder for me to watch that kind of thing. Just because it feels like it could happen in real life. And maybe
I'm, yeah, and know, does. Yeah.
Right. So that's hard to watch the whole, and that ties in for me to why I didn't enjoy The Joker when that movie came out for a lot of those same reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if I can get excited about it coming up, but I think that the actor would be great, but I don't know that I would be into it.
I get that. You want your movies and shows to be escapist as much as possible.
Yeah, well, at least when it, in some ways, yes, but there's a fine line, and I think too much of reality has crossed into what should be fiction, and that it freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a really good take, I think, and it makes sense. I usually lean the other way, where I want my reality mirrored to me in what I'm watching, so that I have a better understanding of it, or I can see it again and process it. Because sometimes I'll read news that's not so happy, and I kind of block it out or forget about it immediately, so I don't dwell on it. So I get it.
I don't want the fiction to influence, because so many people look to these kinds of shows and are like, "Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that in real life." Like, I don't want that.
No, I'm just going to put my Batman costume.
Sorry to be a downer. Right. Oops. But what was really great was when the Penguin was all tied up and he started waddling around. Let's just lighten the mood. That was fun.
Yeah, there were no moments of levity that I can recall, except for maybe a couple of the one-liners between Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne. That was about it. Thoughts on Zoe Kravitz?
Fantastic. Loved her.
I was going to say, I feel like every time you say, like, thoughts on an actor, my go-to response is, like, they were good or they were bad. So my go-to response here is, she did a good job, and I don't have much more to say than that. I think it was Christy LeMire writing for RogerEbert.com said that first scene where she appears, you know, Rob Pattinson gets interested, you know, because she gives off this energy like, ooh, you're like me. You're a freak like me. And I think she did a good job of, like, playing that role to the hilt.
Yeah, I think she did a good job with some less than stellar dialogue as well.
That's true. But at least they did give her, at least Reeves did give Zoe Kravitz some things to do.
Yeah.
More out of the costume for her than Pattinson. We didn't get a lot of just Bruce Wayne walking around.
No, he was really mostly Batman the whole time, which I thought was kind of interesting, because I thought that they might want to use Rob Pattinson more outside of the costume, uh-huh, just because he is such a fantastic actor. Now, when he was outside the costume, I thought he did a great job, but yeah, that was kind of It was an interesting choice.
Well, it's called The Batman, not the Bruce Wayne, so.
Interesting.
Not the Rob Pattinson.
Yeah, when are they going to make the Bruce Wayne movie? That's
I would watch that. Honestly.
That's the one where he starts striking at the social cause of crime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you guys not want to reach up and push his hair out of his eyes?
Like, delicately? Is that what you mean?
Well.
Share an intimate moment with Batman?
That'd be okay. That's fine. So where are you with it? Did you like it, Natalie, overall?
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. That was good.
Okay. Even despite your not being crazy about Batman himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said before, I think this one did it a little differently. It was interesting to watch, to look at the story. It took a few predictable turns, but kind of ended in a way that wasn't as predictable, maybe. I don't know. I enjoyed it more than I thought. Like I said, more than I thought I would, I enjoyed it.
I so did I. And I thought that for those exact reasons.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break, and on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about another movie. We're talking movies this week. It's The Northman.
The Northman.
That's the guy. Okay, as mentioned earlier, we are a production of the Alabama Take, but besides our connection there, we still think the alabamatake.com is a wonderful stop for your internet perusal. If you follow us on social media, you'll get a heads up on what's new on the site, as well as a notification of what we cover on Taking It Down every Sunday. That's right, you get a couple of days' notice on what TVs or movies we're going to be discussing. We aren't the only podcast produced by the Alabama Take either. There's the bitterly funny music/comedy show This Song Sucks, coming in late spring for its third season, hosted by Josh Kavanaugh and Hayden Crawford, where they dissect why a song sucks. And coming soon, this may be the first time it's been revealed. Are you ready for it? It's the Alabama Slam, hosted by our head writer Patrick Akers and another Alabama Take alum, Corey Hanna. They're going to bring you the latest ideas and analysis on wrestling each week. Be on the lookout for when it launches on social media. Lastly, if you're new to this show, Taking It Down, we'll appreciate it and adore you. And if you would rate, reviews, and subscribe to the show. This show also appears on YouTube every week, so get our channel, The Alabama Take, on YouTube. So let's get back into this week's episode and talk about The Northman. It's time. Here we are for The Northman, which is directed by Robert Eggers. He also co-wrote it with a Scandinavian poet.
Icelandic, I believe.
Thank you. And it stars Alexander Skarsgård, Anya Taylor-Joy, Bjork makes an appearance, Willem Dafoe, Nicole Kidman. It's about a young Vikings prince's journey for revenge. If that's all you want to know, good. Go watch it. Come back. We're going to dive right in. I don't recall being excited for a movie like I have for this one in a while, and I think that hindered my viewing of the movie just barely. But I went in fairly blind. I knew it was about a Viking, and that was about it.
I tried to do very similar. I was really excited because I really liked The Witch, and I really liked The Lighthouse. And what I really appreciated about those movies was how they were not afraid to be really weird and strange and off-putting. And I'm not sure that this movie was weird and strange and off-putting in the same way that those were. Although it was still like, if you like listening to loud Led Zeppelin songs, you're probably going to like this movie.
You know, I mentioned that all-star cast and crew, but the director got me in the sea. You know, just like you're saying, Robert Eggers is what made me go see it, or even like buy a ticket before the day of. I think we got to get it out of the way. Nicole Kidman played Alexander Skarsgård's wife in Big Little Lies on HBO, and here she's playing Let me check my notes. Oh, his mom.
And, you know, there's that one scene where it's like she might want to be his wife again.
Yeah.
That was just for stabbing purposes, though, misinterpret it.
Did you know going in that this was one of the original texts for Hamlet?
I did.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that.
So I knew, I had an inkling that, that everyone was going to die. And so that it was that kind of like dramatic, not dramatic, what am I trying to, it was that kind of tragedy, if you will.
What'd you think about it overall?
I think overall I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't as, you know, I kind of said this earlier, it wasn't as weird or as off-putting maybe as it could have been, but it had moments where as it went on, it kind of got a little stranger.
It did.
And weirder and darker.
Its odd moments didn't feel as fluid as they did in, say, The Witch or The Lighthouse.
Yeah, they were more like interruptions.
Yeah, and they were kind of jolting. It felt like a big Hollywood movie with Robert Eggers dropping some of his moments in there at times.
Yeah, I'd say it. It's probably as much of a Hollywood movie as Roger Eggers is capable of making, right?
Let's hope so, yeah. Let's hope so. I thought it was fun. Glad I saw it. Glad I went to the theater to see it. I didn't think it was great. So a little let down. This one didn't feel like it had as much to say as Eggers' previous works upon my first watch, but I think that might be, it leaned a little into that Hollywood movie more than its previous two. Like you mentioned, it did get a little stranger and stranger as it moved along, but I think this might be a case of where the setting and the time period, he just maybe couldn't bring his writing to the forefront, particularly with dialogue. You kind of had to stick to this structure, you're kind of bounded by it in order for accuracy, which I think he was shooting for as well.
Yeah, he always seems to try. I know he is very influenced by like period specific stuff, and I know he said he didn't want there to be a whole lot of dialogue for his main character, because these guys in the sagas are kind of laconic, you know, they don't really have much to say. I guess if there's anything, it was almost, if it's about anything, it's almost, I guess, kind of like period accurate in that it's more about how we are bound by fate than anything else, how we're fated to do the things that we do, and we can't, you can try and avoid that fate, but it's always going to be there for you. And I guess that is maybe not quite as resonant in the modern world, or maybe it would have to be resonant in a different way. Like in the modern world's version of this is like, well, you can't escape your childhood upbringing.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right. And yeah, after 24 hours removed from the movie, I started to dwell on a couple of those things. I think it might also have to say something about how children view their parents and how, and this is a separate thing, how heroes view themselves. And but yes, fate was the big main point, and that's going to be reverberated in Shakespeare's work as well. So that the word fate is actually mentioned 3 or 4 times in this movie. But you're exactly right.
Now, I never thought of it as being about how children, although I probably could, I can't, as soon as you said it, I see that being about how children see their parents too. Because so much of, what am I trying to say? So much of the conflict of the movie is from, not the conflict, but the tragedy of the movie is that the picture, the image he has of his family growing up is essentially false.
Right.
It's over-idolized, and he doesn't know the truth behind it.
Right.
And that kind of, I think, adds a poignancy to his fate, which is to basically kill his whole family.
At least the part that doesn't sail away.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Nicole Kidman as his mother tells him, I didn't need rescuing.
Not only that, but we find out that he's not even the son she chose, right? Like, it's the right. The other two children that she chose to have, whereas he was a child that was forced on her,
right.
Which is pretty, pretty gruesome stuff.
Yeah.
But it does add that lend poignancy to the way he's trapped by fate.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. I agree with you. I'm really going back to The Witch here a lot, but I saw this as a continuation on Eggers' thoughts on how ritual, tradition, and these firmly held beliefs reduce us to these baser instincts. Both The Northman and The Witch end with the protagonist's demise in nudity. Yeah, it's like we're going to strip everything, and literally strip, and we're going to just strip them of any maybe common sense, or at least sense of what to do in order to survive even.
Throughout the movie a couple times, they mention that he's an animal wearing human flesh.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I see that too, where it's being stripped down to your, maybe your essence,
mm-hmm.
is what he's looking at. You're being stripped down to the core of what makes you human or inhuman.
Right. What's
in this case?
What's inside versus the external.
And there were a lot of ceremonies and rituals in this movie too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a ton.
And several of them featuring nudity or near nudity. So I wouldn't be surprised if you were onto something there.
Did you like Bjork's performance there? Did
you know somebody that I know said that she reminded him of the way Kurosawa's witch worked in Kurosawa's version of Macbeth called Throne of Blood. And I kind of see it. I liked it.
Yeah.
She's kind of creepy all by herself.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And she kind of did function in the, I thought that was an astute observation. She does kind of function as the same way the witch characters in Macbeth function, at least just setting this fate on you that you can't escape.
Yeah, true. I tend to glance at a few message boards, Reddit, what have you. And as it turns out, the Valkyrie wearing the braces.
Yes.
That kind of threw me off for a couple of seconds, but I got lost back into the movie, luckily. But that is supposedly fairly accurate too, right? There's been Viking drawings or something has surfaced that anyway, that's not inaccurate or anachronistic. So.
Interesting. That one, yeah, that threw me for a half second there until I was back. You get back in the movie pretty quickly.
She was a vicious looking Valkyrie, by the way.
Yes.
Early in the film, I did. When you have a movie that needs to be so strong with its fighting, I thought that the swordsmanship early in the movie felt under rehearsed, or maybe it was a case of being over rehearsed, because I could feel the actors pulling their punches, and it really felt to me like I was watching a movie, which is not what a director wants to do.
Now, what part of how early in the movie were you feeling?
It was Skarsgård just after growing up, so it was with the raid in that Russian area.
With the raid and, huh, that's interesting, because I thought that was actually one of the more effective
mm-hmm.
scenes for me, just because it felt brutal, and I liked the way that he was using, I like the way that he uses the cannon.
Yes.
He kind of slides around.
That was it.
You know? And I like the way he uses the camera.
I was just about to add that the camera is so smooth that it punctuates the brutality, the violence there, because it's such a fluid movement of camera that you get the sense that this is normal.
Yeah.
And some of the violence is just in the margin of the screen. So it's what you got is a protagonist who's not as wrapped up in it, or, you know, he's shrugging it off, and the camera does that for you, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really effective.
Yeah, it just didn't hit me as much as Eggers' other work, and I was that was my disappointment in it, which is not to say it's not a pretty good movie, though.
I'd give this one B or a B+.
I think I'm with
you. If we're rating.
I think I'm with you.
Whereas his last two were A's for me.
Right. Especially, I'm a huge fan of The Witch. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there's, you know, we kind of have said, there's a whole lot to love in this. The cinematography's great. The acting's great. You know, a bunch of it takes place in Iceland, and I think they actually filmed it in Iceland.
I think that's right, yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
And Eggers has commented how this was just a very rough movie. It almost broke him.
Yeah. Well, because he had, not only was it difficult to shoot, but it also, like, got derailed by COVID completely.
Okay, that makes sense.
I believe.
That makes sense. Who knew COVID was in Iceland?
COVID's everywhere, man.
Yeah, of course it is. All right, well, let's wrap up this week's show. And we're going to promise another episode next Tuesday morning. I think we're leaning heavily into talking about the new seasons of Russian Doll and Barry. Both excited to talk about as far as I'm concerned. In the meantime, visit thealamitate.com or go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and follow us, and we'll keep you abreast of what's up. Talk to you all later.